Welcome to the Grateful American Radio Show, hosted by author and publisher David Bruce Smith. What did George Washington do that you might not know about? What did Abe Lincoln know that could change the way you think about the Civil War? You'll learn about all that and more on this special show designed to restore excitement in American history. Let's get started. On January 16, 1936, in the midst of the Great Depression, Virginia's political and business leaders bravely demonstrated their faith in the future and their belief in the value of art by opening the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts here in Richmond. The original English Renaissance-style building was designed by Peebles and Ferguson, architects of Norfolk. And in the years since, there have been five expansions, including the most recent, completed in 2010 by famous architect Rick Mather. This beautiful renovation houses the museum's permanent collection, which currently has 33,000 works of art from almost every major world culture. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, your co-host of the Grateful American Foundation, here with David Bruce Smith, the founder. And we are thrilled to be here with Alex Nerges, who is the director of the museum in the gorgeous American Art Wing. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you, Hope, and thank you, David. Welcome to the Virginia Museum.
So question number one, tell us about this amazing collection.
We have one of the best collections of American art in the United States today, and it spans literally from the beginning of our country in the 17th century all the way to the present day, and we're here in the McLaughlin American Art Galleries in the very first part of our history before, in many cases, we were a country.
So let's start in the beginning of the room where we have Paul Revere's teapot. Tell us a little bit about that piece.
We have in this case actually several examples of American silver, one by Paul Revere, which was commissioned as a wedding gift, but then also a work by Meyer Myers, who was a New York silversmith who had connections to both Richmond and to Virginia. And this was a work that was actually commissioned for Meyer Myers' son's wedding. And so it's a great connection, but it shows you two different parts of the silversmithing tradition here in colonial America.
Yeah, it's fantastic how the art really reflects what was going on at the time and tell us a credible story.
Well, all the works here tell great stories. They talk about the trade, they talk about the colonies, they talk about a world just like ours today that was getting smaller and smaller on a global level every day.
This particular gallery is not interactive at all. How do you get these objects to talk to the visitors?
It's a great question. And for us, every work of art speaks its own language. We're not big believers in technology getting in the way of looking at art, but we are actually working on several new facets through our website and also through an app that you'll be able to use wandering through the museum to be able to delve into individual works of art, and whether you want to see videos about Paul Revere or be able to call up book lists and bibliographies about particular artists, we will do that, but on a much more subtle level. We think, though, the works themselves tell a great story, so we have text panels, we have informative labels, and then, of course, we invite people to delve in more.
So talk a little bit more about context. So here we have a bunch of furniture from the period, but it's not all American made.
Well, in fact, as I say, the world was becoming very global. Trade from one part of the world to the other. The work of art that we have here was made in India on an English style, but then was exported from India to America. Let me show you another example, and this is a work that combines Asia with America. Well, this is a great example of how the world itself was coming closer together. This is an English form of the late 17th century, early 18th century, but it's decorated in style from Asia. It's painted and then lacquered with an Asian-influenced design, because it showed the global nature of trade and commerce. We in this country, as well as people in Europe and elsewhere, were traveling the globe, and the trade between various parts of the world, including Africa with slaves, and then of course the West Indies with sugar and molasses, manufactured goods from Europe to this country, was all part of a very, very complex and intricate network. When the war broke out, it changed everything. Prior to that, we had been a set of colonies from Great Britain. Trade and commerce were obviously thwarted. And like today in our world, not everybody was happy with the revolution. Not everybody was happy, particularly the merchants who relied on being able to send goods and materials to England. There wasn't much trade other than the underground going between the two sides of the Atlantic. Other ports, France, Prussia, places that were other countries, were trade partners. But this is an example where Asia became part of that ever-expanding world for commerce.
So let's go look at the rest of the gallery, especially these portraits. And the people just seem so dour and really not happy at all. And I would love to hear what you think about, was that true? Were they miserable?
Well, in some cases they may have been, but part of it is about the quality of the artists who are creating the portraits as well.
All right, so we were talking about many of the dour people in the portraits. Now, like these two, I mean, how much of this is posed, do you think, and how much is true to life?
Well, it's a little of both. It's very posed. And portraiture, and these three paintings in particular, are done by artists who were less skilled. They weren't formally trained. They were usually studies of some possibly more trained painter. But the number of really great portrait painters in this country in its earliest days were very few. Because of the war, many of our great painters actually left and went to England, Benjamin West being the best example. They left. Some of them were loyalists and never came back. Some of them merely to escape the war and find a better environment economically. These paintings were done by more or less itinerant artists who were not trained. So the dour attitude is really the artist trying his best to reflect the character of his sitters. The woman in this painting, she has her hand resting on the Bible. She's looking serious because that was what she thought was expected of her. He's holding a prominent newspaper of the day, trying to look worldly and informed and obviously upright. This, by comparison, though, is very different. This is meant to be the portrait of a family here in Richmond, out in Goochland County. The young boy with his fresh-caught bird. But I would point out the slave, because hidden on the edges and the margins of so many of these pictures are the people who are not central to the world of the Payne family, but in this case, the young slave girl who was tending to her wards.
So when you talk about the artist's training or lack of, is it safe to say that in this portrait and in the other two, proportions, for example, are not correct?
Absolutely. Perspective, proportions, the finer details of what we would like to see in a portrait are clearly lacking, and that's just a matter of training and probably in some cases talent.
Now talk a little bit about how we tie art history and history, American history, together. So particularly the slave in the picture, what was being reflected in this, do you think?
Well, there are two things. One, what's literally here before our eyes is the young slave girl who is being seen as happy. You know, she's tending to the young child who is her ward, and it's a scene of domestic bliss. But there's also the other side that we look at it in terms of a 21st century perspective, and it's hard to ignore the fact that this young girl may be smiling, but that's an artificial construct, because how could someone be happy if you're a slave?
So let's juxtapose this portrait with this other portrait of a woman who was obviously a slave as we make our way through the next part of the gallery.
Great idea.
So what do you see in this portrait?
Well, this is very different than the last painting in the sense that it's a portrait, a painting of a woman named Violet Anthony, who was a slave in Philadelphia. And this was done when obviously she is elderly. And to have a painting done of a slave or even a free person in the 1830s is fairly extraordinary.
What does it say?
Well, it's possible it says several things. That her owner or former owner thought so highly of her that wanted to provide some gift that was dignified and extremely special. It may have been a statement by her family, because not all black people in Philadelphia were slaves. There was gradual emancipation. Some were free. It could have been that a family member would have paid for it. Imagine all of her children and grandchildren gathering up together to commission the portrait. It's possible. And the interesting part of society, though, is that you have the North in the 1830s already, where slaves and free people are still living side by side because of the slow and gradual emancipation. But there were free blacks across the country.
And it's amazing, again, how the pictures, the art, tells the story of the time.
Well, photography was only beginning to come in at the end of this decade, the 1830s and the 1840s. So prior to photography, we only have paintings and sculptures and drawings to really give us any window into the history prior to photography.
Very good. And that is reflected in all of the art here. We were really feeling the artists and the history. And we thank you so much for having us to the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
It's our pleasure. You are watching Grateful American TV. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, co-host with David Bruce Smith, the founder of the Grateful American Foundation. We look forward to restoring enthusiasm in American history for you and your families. We'll talk to you soon.
You have been listening to the Grateful American Radio Show, hosted by author and publisher David Bruce Smith. Here's to restoring enthusiasm in history for kids and adults, too.